Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. It is Parshas Kisavo this week, and we also start Slichos this coming Motzei Shabbos. So let's learn a mitzvah found in Parshas Kisavo that relates to Slichos. What does the Torah say? What do you have to do every 3 years or so? Kisachala la'aser is kol ma'aser tvuasecha. When you finish tithing your produce, b'shana ha'shlishis, shanasa ma'aser v'nasata la'levi la'yir la'ezem al'manah v'achlu b'sharech v'zeveyu. So after you've completed doing all of the things you're supposed to do with your produce, what do you do in the fourth year? You make an oral declaration. I have removed any of the produce from my house that needed to be given. I gave it to the Levi, the Ger, the Yasum, the Amana, etc. Everything that I was supposed to do, Ribono Shel Olam, I have done. Lo avarti mi mitzvosecha v'lo shachachti. What is this mitzvah known as? It's called Vidui Maaser. This is when one gets up and declares that they have properly performed the mitzvos of Truma, Meiser, etc. And this is counted in the 613 in the Rambam's mitzvos, Asei Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Sefer Mitzvos, says the Rambam, we are commanded lehisvadot, to do vidui, to confess, in front of Hashem, key word over there, Bautzaz, Mishpatei HaMa'asros, Vatrumos, Ulisnakos Mehem B'Ma'amar. Meaning what? We need to not only come clean by actually giving them out. You give truma to the Kohen, you give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, you give Maaser Ani to the poor, etc. Not only shall we become clean by giving the debt to whom we owe them to, we also have to come clean via an oral declaration. It's a fascinating formulation in the Rambam. And this mitzvah is known in the Mishnayos as Vidui Maaser. So let's try to just get a little bit of a halachic language for this mitzvah. So all we know so far is from the Torah, there is a chiyav mida'oraisa to do vidui ma'aser, to declare that you have performed truma and ma'aser properly. Okay, very nice. So it's a mitzvah in the Parsha. Now just to get some more details about the mitzvah, we'll learn the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Yud Aleph, the final perek in that sefer of the Rambam. It's also the final perek in the Meseches, known as Ma'aser Sheni in the Mishnayos, says the Rambam, Halacha Gimel, Eimasai Mizvadin, when do you actually do this mitzvah? B'mincha b'yom tov ha'acharon shel Pesach. So, interestingly, the last day of Pesach, so let's assume we're all in Eretz Yisrael, there are only 7 days of Pesach, so in the afternoon of the final day of Pesach, which years are the 7 years? Shemitah cycle, years 4 and years 7. Because what does the Torah say? Ki techaleh la'aser. The regel shekola ma'asros kolim bo, and the final festival on the agricultural cycle that all of the tithing has already been completed. I mean, we assume that the new cycle begins again on Pesach. So therefore, when you get to Pesach, you have the ability to declare what you have done. And that means there is a deadline of the last day of Pesach. So says the Rambam and Halacha Dalet over there, you can't declare this vidoy ma'aser unless you've actually given all of the appropriate presents to the Kohen, the Levi, etc. So guess what would happen on the Erev Yom Tov Acharon, on the sixth day of Pesach, Chol HaMoed Pesach, the day before the deadline, let's say you had leftover Truma or Ma'aser in your possession that you did not properly give away, what would you have to do? You'd have to go find a Kohen or a Levi or a poor person, whatever it might be. You'd have to go distribute those items, because how can you make this Vidui Ma'aser declaration if you've not actually done it? You can't say, Hashem, I did it, if you didn't actually do that. So that's what the Rambam says. You cannot do this vidui unless you actually have performed the mitzvah. So that's why an Erev Yom Tov Acharon was the biur, and the final day of Pesach was the declaration. So there was you can imagine that all the students in the classroom getting the essay, last minute, right before it's actually due. So there's a formal deadline, seventh day of Pesach, on the fourth and seventh year out of the Shemitah cycle. And there's a real hard deadline there on the sixth day of Pesach. So it's somewhat a funny imagery. Okay, so beautiful. It's one of the mitzvos that we should all be zocha to see again in Heir V'Amein when we have a Beis Hamikdash. But the question on this mitzvah is the funny terminology of the word vidui. Undoubtedly, if I were to ask you, what do you think of when I say the word vidui, you would think of this coming Motzei Shabbos, Ashamnu, Baganu, exactly, confessing sins. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch has this question in this week's Parsha, and he says, why does the Torah, or the Halacha rather, ascribe this seemingly negative term to a positive mitzvah? Right here, you're saying that you did the right thing, not the wrong thing. and all of a sudden we call it vidui. And the Minchas Chinuch has a wild chiddush, and he says, do you know what? Perhaps this mitzvah only applies to people who what? Delayed. And didn't do it properly. He says, perhaps if you actually did everything properly, you gave the truma and the ma'aser as you were supposed to, you would not do this mitzvah. That's wild chiddush, isn't it? Right, meaning the Minchas Chinuch assumes that the word vidui needs to assume that you did something wrong. And if you did not do something wrong, there's literally no vidui to be said. So if you did everything right, there's nothing wrong. Wow. So here, the Minchas Chinuch himself said that if you did everything right, you don't need to actually say this. Well, so what did I say with delay? Who was I quoting? Because later on in the Minhag, I didn't put it on your Mar Makomo sheet, but the Minchas Chinuch goes on to quote the fascinating opinion of the Sforno that has an idea, a deeper idea, that originally we should be giving these things to the firstborn, but we sinned, etc. Wow. And there are other answers. There are other answers that come up with a way to say that maybe you kind of messed up in this process. But what an amazing chiddush of the Sefer, of the Minchas Chinuch, rather, that if you did everything properly, this mitzvah does not apply. Now that is a chiddush. But what's he bothered by? He's bothered by this word vidui. How can it be that the vidui, this confession, is not connected to anything negative? So does anyone have an answer? Anyone want to answer the Minchas Chinuch's question a different way? Because he has a very, very big chiddush that would need more proofs to say that you only have to do vidui if you did something wrong. What? Oh, so very nice. It says Jerome, well, maybe you only do it, you're doing because you didn't have the proper kavanah. It's a very nice idea. But again, we need a proof or two. So what would be another approach? Very good, Jerome. So Jerome, like the Minchas Chinuch, is basically trying to find an error. And if not for the error, there is no justification for this word. What? So what did you do? I mean, you did something wrong. Right, you're still thinking along the lines of Jerome and the Minchas Chinuch. I mean, you clearly did something wrong. The Torah doesn't say what you did wrong, but you did something wrong. Otherwise, the word vidui is inappropriate. Rabbi Weintraub.
Did the Torah say the word
vidui? No.
No. The Torah says Niso v'yamar to.
Correct. Very good. So go on. Austin, what do you want to say? Very good. So Rabbi Weintraub.
It's not a real vidui.
Ah, so very good. So AB, not so controversially, just contradicts Chazal. So Rabbi Weintraub Shlita, says, listen, Chazal call it vidui. I don't know how to call it. Yeah. So there was a group of Jews who only believed in Torah Shabbat and not Torah Shabbat. So now AB is very good. Now, AB makes a very good ha'ara. I pick out him too often. I apologize.
Why did Chazal call it?
Ah, very good. So now AB is saying, well, why did Chazal even call it vidui? Very good, very good. So we saw it in the Rambam first. So this is the question that, Chazal and the Mishnahs call it as vidui. So this is the question. So there's an amazing Malbim. I want to thank my friend, Rabbi Jonathan Ziering. Jonathan Ziering is a genius. So I had some makoros on the sugya, and I didn't know too much about this part of the shir. So I did, my own research in preparing a shir, and I saw on YU Torah that Rabbi Jonathan Ziering, who is now the Rosh YU Kollel in Toronto for a bunch of years at this point. I haven't kept such close tabs. He does a lot of good things for Klal Yisrael, and he's very bright, Baruch Hashem. So he is great, because not only does he give great shurim, he makes great makoro sheets. And when you go to his shurim on the YU Torah website, you can find his makoros. So he quoted a malbim that I very much appreciate, and I come back to this malbim at the end of this year. And he also quoted the Minchas Chinuch. I would not have known some of these two makoros in particular I got from Rabbi Jonathan Ziering Shlita. So it says the Malbim like this. He says, whoa. Well, what does the word vidui actually mean? You know what vidui means? It means you say a confession of what you did to Hashem. Whether you're talking to God about what you did, that was the right thing, or whether you did the wrong thing. But the Malbim's approach is as follows, is that when you tell Hashem what your actions were, That's also called vidui. Inyanu dvarim haneemarim balachash lifnei melech hamishpat. That's what vidui is. Vidui is when you basically tell your secrets to Hashem, so to speak. You tell God about your sins, okay. You tell God about your mitzvahs, it's also vidui. Fascinating, fascinating idea. And Rav Soloveitchik, this is where I knew it. When I was a little younger, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, I was still single at the time. And it was it was those years where I was like in YU. Rabbi Julius Berman Shlita, he moved to Jamaica States when I was around college. So he's a big deal in the YU world. You know, you're familiar with Julius Berman's work over the past several decades for Yeshiva University. So he would regularly speak in the Young Israel of Jamaica States, and he would quote like famous Torah of Rav Soloveitchik, which I never knew. And it was like the classic stuff that people who were older than me knew, but I never knew. And once at Shalosh Shiras, I remember he quoted this idea from the Rav, that very similar to the Malbim, that vidui is also about what you did right, not only about what you did wrong. And it's in the Rav's Chumash, and by Lustiger's, Likut of all of Rav's Torah on the Parsha. And, okay, who knows how to pronounce the Latin, at first glance, the prima facie. Prima facie. Okay. Thank you so much for being more educated than me. Very good, very good. Prima facie. Okay, I'm an honest Jew. I don't pretend to know Latin, Just say it like it is. So, prima facie, says the Rav, the title of confession is not fitting for this parsha. Why is this formula referred to as confession? How can the praise for man simultaneously be the confession of man? And the Rav beautifully goes on to say that you can only do tshuva when you recognize two things. Number one, that you had the ability to fail, and you have to confess that sin. You also have to realize that you have the ability to do really good things as well. It's part of the tshuva process. It's an amazing thing. I didn't want to write the whole thing on the Mar Makomo sheets, but I do have it in front of me. What's the second element of tshuva? To comprehend the boundless hidden spiritual powers which are found in the human personality and which propel one in the direction of return to the sovereign of the universe. And the ability of man to elevate himself to majestic heights even after he has sunk into the abyss of impurity. And back on the Mar Makomo sheets, without recognition of the sin, there can be no regret. Yet there can be no commitment for the future if the man has no faith in his ability to rise above the sins he has committed. So it's a beautiful idea of Rav Soloveitchik, where man, yes, should not only be in touch with what he did wrong, but also with what he has done well. And certainly in our generation, the Rabbanim are much more into Avas Hashem than Yirah Shamayim in our generation, especially in high school chinuch. It is far more effective to inspire a young man as to what he is capable of accomplishing, as opposed to telling him that he has messed up. There's no question about that in our generation. And Rav Volbi Zatzal was quoted as saying that before someone writes one negative thing that he has done, he should actually record around 20 good things that he has done. So again, we can go... What? Of course. Right, so yeah, no, Jerome's pointing out that it's just an honest assessment. And the point is that the Malim and the Rav are taking the word vidui and taking a spin on it. And they're saying, not like the Menachos Chinuch, vidui doesn't always mean you did something wrong. Vidui just means being open with God. So now that we're on the topic of being open with God, so I'm going to ask you a question. How open should you be? So we start Slichos this Motzei Shabbos, and the main question of the evening is, should you specify sins that you've done in the past? If they're not directly mentioned in the Machzor. So imagine you're going to say this with the Shabbos, Ashamnu, Baganu, etc. You're going to get up to the Al-Chaitz on Erev Yom Kippur, the Al-Chaitz Shechatanus, etc. Yet you know that there's something very specific that you did that you want to talk to God about, and the Machzor didn't really nail it. So what do you think? Should you specify, in addition to what's written in the Machzor, should you specify your own sins? What would you say, logic? Of course, that was Rambam. Why? I mean,
the Rambam.
Oh, so the Rambam says yes. Anyone want to think of a reason to not do that? Right. Very good. Meaning the Machzor is particular as to include olive base, olive to tuff, right? It's an order, onus, beratzen, etc. Titanu, Asham to titanu, it's all in olive base. And the Aleph Beis kind of do the trick, so to speak, to include everything else. Okay. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll go talk about the Chayadam. Very good. Okay, so this is actually a Machlokas Tanaim. In Maseches Zuma Peivavim Beis, the Rabbi Yehudim Baba, he, again, is responsible for our entire oral tradition. By the way, you know, it's hard to ignore that factor whenever you quote him. And what does Rabbi Yehudim Baba teach us? If it's Sarech, keyword, you need, Lifrot Es Hachet, you need to specify your individual sin, i.e., it's not enough to just do vidui in a vague. Very good. That's right. So I like the way Robert said it. If you're going to talk to Hashem, you got to be real about it. And dancing around your personal sin is not real enough. It's not real enough. So instead of Rebbe Baba, you need to do it. As opposed to Rebbe Baba, the Rebbe Kiva disagrees and says, "Whoa, Ashrei Nesuei Pesha." The Torah praises those who cover up their sins. Cover up their sins. And the machlokas is based on how Moshe approached Hashem. When Moshe told Hashem that the nation sinned with a big sin, or they made a golden god. Moshe specified the sin. So you could get around it by saying that Moshe didn't mean to specify it. He was telling God that they should not be blamed because God gave them so much gold. What did you expect them to do with it? But that's the background as to where they get this machlokas from. What did Moshe mean when he specified that Klal Yisrael sinned with an Elohei Zahav? Says Rabbi Baba, that means you need to specify the sin. Says Rabbi Kiva, no, that's a completely different thing. So who do we paskin like? Well, first, before we go into the halacha, so Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, one of the biggest Marbitei Torah in the world right now, the author of the Pinine Halacha, the Rosh Yeshiva, I think, of the yeshiva known as Harbracha, did I get that right? Harbracha, I think. I don't know if now about it. But he is an unbelievable rabbi in the sense that he just takes a lot of Torah and broadcasts it to the world, and it's extremely clear. Very prolific author, and it's all available for free online as well. It's unreal. It's unreal. So he is just growing in terms of his impact in Klal Yisrael. I myself have benefited from his free, accessible Torah online. And in his Sefer on the Menorah, he gives a little bit of lamdus, just the background, which you see in the poskim as well, which is as follows. Well, what would be the reason to specify your sin? So Robert said you want to be real with God, but what does it accomplish when you specify your sin? What element of tshuva is...
You're owning up to it.
Oh, very good. And how so? I mean, when you specify, what other aspect of tshuva is going to be accomplished when you specify your sin? When you own up to it, so that's vidui, but what else comes with that? When you specify it, so Rabbi Melamed argues...
You won't
do it again. That's a good point also. He argues that you're going to feel more regret. It's more embarrassing. You're owning up to it, i.e., there's a big difference between acknowledging it internally versus going up to your parents, Lamashal, and saying, you know, yeah, I stuck at a house last night and, you know, stole some money and whatever it is after curfew. It's very embarrassing when you face the person who you rebelled against and confess face to face. So says Rabbi Melamed that maybe that's the pshat, that Rabbi Akiva holds that there's certainly an aspect, like Rabbi Nibbaba, that you need to feel this element of remorse. And certainly when you confess the sin, it will hone in on emotion. And that's where Rabbi Nibbaba is coming from. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that because it's also a chilul Hashem. To say that you sinned might be inappropriate. Meaning any time we discuss a violation of Torah, so that's inherently a chilul Hashem. And perhaps it's inappropriate to do such a thing. That,
yeah.
Oh, very good. So it says, Peter, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Add a little bit of flavor to to Peter's politically correct statement. Very good. Yeah. So you can ask Rabbi Melamed's alumnus over here that okay, but we see these issues. And we're going to see the halacha makes a distinction between the public confession and the private confession. So how do we paskin? Do we confess sins privately? So before we see anything else inside, I want to tell you that I asked this very question to Rav Schechter. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Rav Schechter was wearing his kittel right outside of the YU-based Medrash, the Gluck-based Medrash, the new one. His face, like, matched his kittel. He was as white as a ghost. Erev Yom Kippur, you saw the pachad and the ema of the Gemar Din of Yom Kippur on his face, which is an amazing thing just to see. And I said, does Rebbe think we should specify personal sins in Vidui? And he said, yeah. He said, I think his lashon was, the Rambam seems to say it's a good idea. Something like that. You know, it's recommended. I don't think he said you better or else, you know. He said, my understanding, my recollection was that he said it's recommended, i.e. you should, not that you have to. Because remember, we saw the lashon in the Rebbe Yehuda Mbava was that you need to. So the Rambam says you need to. Says the Rambam Hilchos Teshuva Perek Beis. Ooh, what halacha? I think it's halacha gimel. I didn't put what halacha it is. V'tzarech lefrot es hachet. You need to specify the sin. Done. So if we were briskers, we would say, what's the shaila? You need to specify the sin. And you still might argue that we do specify the sin. Because the machzor goes, again, from aleph to taf. And they're going to nail, especially on Yom Kippur. Maybe not, you know. Once we get to the Yom Kippur Machzor, where we really speak about the onus, the ratzo, and, you know, all those other ones, the longer vidui, that's a lot of things in there. But the Rambam says you need to specify. You need to specify. Okay, now who disagrees with the Rambam? A lot of Rishonim. And who do the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like? Here it is. Are you ready? It's not so clear. Shulchan Aruch is going to pull a kurabu. You ready for this? He's going to say three things. Get ready. Number one, ein tzarech lefaret achet. You don't need to specify your sin against the Rambam, like the Tur. Shulchan Aruch is almost always like the Tur. He was very often like the Rambam. But here's not like the Rambam. Don't need to specify your sin. Yeah, that was number one. Number two, v'imrotza lefaret harashus biyado. If you want to specify, you may. Now, there's a little bit of background. There are those who argue that when Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, that you should not specify your sin, it means it's usur to specify your sin because it's a chilul Hashem. Meaning mentioning sin is inappropriate. You don't want to dig too deep. You know, it's like in this, you know, again, doing vidui is good, but going into detail is a chilul Hashem. So the Shulchan Aruch does not rule like that. He says, you don't need to, number one, but number two, if you want to, you're allowed to. Now here's number three. The misvad belachash, but if you're confessing silently, Nachon lefare tachet. It's appropriate to specify your sin. That's a funny curveball the Shulchan Aruch threw at the end there, right? Meaning, why does he say, and if you are confessing privately, it is then appropriate to specify your sin? What does that imply about the first two points the Shulchan Aruch made? That would imply that the first two points were talking about the public vidui. So the public vidui, you shouldn't really specify, but if you want to, you may. Does that make any sense? Imagine the Chazan specifying sins.
Chazan can't.
Chazan can't.
He's a Shliach Tzibur, so he can't justify himself.
But maybe the Chatam of the community. I don't know.
He can't specify.
All right, so it's a little bit of... So how do you read that third point? The third point was, and if you're confessing privately, it's nachon. It's appropriate. We went from you don't need to if you want to, you can, to it's nachon. And you see the three step. Oh, so what do you mean?
What is a public? What is a public?
Oh, so says the Dr. Karp, like the Mishnah Berurah. The end of the Shulchan Aruch is not talking about the same thing that he was talking about in the beginning. In the beginning, he was talking about the public vidui, and then he's talking about the private vidui. But Adam, what's very strange about that? If the beginning is talking about the public vidui, how does the Shulchan Aruch then give you the ability to specify sin if you want to? Be a little bit embarrassing. This is the guy we chose to be on Chazim. Imagine in the middle if he starts saying what he did wrong, you know. I don't know.
Maybe not the Chazim, not somebody else.
Right. Yeah, we just stay with that stuff, yeah.
Was it possible that when the Chazim says the Alfeit and the, you know, the one we would do the deeper, that some people do it for Lachash? Is there a fee to do it? Out loud with the kahal, or you can do it the lahash with the kahal.
So therefore, what do you want to say there?
So therefore, everyone's saying v'yalkei, and you're just doing it the lahash, and you're mafari.
But it doesn't mean out loud mamish. So as we all kind of predicted, the Ramah then comes along and says, whoa. Aval kemishpala b'kol ram. When you're davening b'kol ram, this is the first time we've seen that language in the Shulchan Aruch. When you're davening in a loud voice. Oh, or shliach tzibur kishechozer atvila, when the chazan is doing chazaras hashatz. So either you're just davening really loudly so everyone can hear you, Or alternatively, you're the chazan, everyone can hear you. Ein lefari tachet. That's when you should certainly not specify your sin, as we all kind of intuitively understand. We don't specify sin so that other people can hear it. This is not something that we do. Okay, fine. So halacha lemaisa, what have we seen in the Shulchan Aruch? That when you confess privately, the Shulchan Aruch said nachon, like Rav Shechter told me, it's recommended. And the Rambam even said tzarech, we didn't go that far. He said nachon, it's different language. And the Ramah said, but absolutely not when you're specifying, when you're saying it out loud. So again, intuitive. And the major take home for us is that, you know, you should try to when you are saying your private Shemona Esrei. But the question then becomes, but what if the Machzor does it for me? All of those Al-Chitz and the whatever, they cover a lot of ground. Says the Ramah, Umasha Omrim Al-Chit B'Seder Aleph Beis Lo Mikre Poret. That's not considered to be specifying your sin. Hoel V'Hakol Omrim B'Shavet. Since everyone's just reading the set text, it's just like reading a book. It's not really the idea that when we speak of tshuva and specifying sin with remorse and emotion, so again, unless you're, you know, I guess have it in mind, right? Meaning, it's hard to say that you're not accomplishing the vidwa. Like, imagine, let's say we say alchetch, you know, whatever shechadenu
be lashon hara,
whatever, and you know you're guilty of that one, right? You don't need to, you say it again and say, oh, and by the way, this one applies to me. I mean, I think if you're saying the machzor's language and you have in mind that it's your personal confession, it's very hard to say that that's not sufficient, right? So I think what we're talking about is when you're dealing with things that are not included in the machzor, or you have what to elaborate on. Meaning, you know, most people probably just read the machzor, have in mind in a kind of where they want to check off their stop. You know, like, you know, this one applies to me more than this one, or whatever it is. And that's kind of what you have in mind more. I can't imagine that being insufficient. So let's just see a nice summary of these halachas in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is not really different than the Mishnah Berurah. I just wanted to kind of quote him because it's just so clear. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, again, the main mitzvah of Vidur is when we say Chatasi. So this Motzei Shabbos, when we say the words, you know, Chatasi or Valanachno Vatinu Chatanu. So that's the main mitzvah, where we acknowledge the fact that we are imperfect and we have sinned. You need to do vidui standing up. You need to kind of bend over a little bit. Kfifas harosh. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, by letter of the law, you don't need to specify your sin. You don't. I remember we saw that lashon of nachon. Not like the Rambam. You do not need to. It's sufficient when you say chatasi avisi pashasi. However, here's the Aruch HaShulchan's language. Omiko makom lechatchila nachon lefareit esachet. It is appropriate to specify your sin. When you are saying things quietly, you say asisi kach v'kach, and why the yisbayesh yosem b'lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu umischard me'omek liba. As we said earlier, when you confess something personal, you feel more embarrassed, and it will kind of bridge the gap a little bit more between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. When you feel a little bit more embarrassed as part of the tshuva process, certainly knowing that Hashem wants that and is accepting of our tshuva. Okay, now there is a massive heter when we speak about tshuva out loud, where the Mishnah Berurah will say that if something is very much known, let's say everyone knows about a certain chet that took place, so that can be said out loud. Mishnah Berurah says black on white. Again, he's trying to figure out what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about. It was unclear as the Shulchan Aruch talking about the private confession, public confession. So the Mishnah Berurah's takeaway is that the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that if there is a public sin that everyone knows about, you're allowed to even confess it publicly. Now, usually we don't do that. Usually it comes off as very arrogant when someone talks about their relationship with God publicly. You know, imagine if I say, God, that one time I didn't put on tefillin, but I confess. You know, that's between me and God. It's not for anyone else to kind of hear about. It's arrogant. The Rambam does write that ben adam l'chaveru, that was appropriate. If me and another person got into a fight and we made peace and we publicized the fact that we were in a fight but we made peace, that's generally accepted. But here, the Mishnah Berurah assumes that even Ben Adam Lamakom, if it's already public, you're allowed to specify. So that would be a very awkward situation, but apparently mutter, according to the Mishnah Berurah. So let's just try to come away with some halach and some mussar to end the shiur. that the Chaya Adam, though, is the one who takes Vidui into a different stratosphere. And Mishra Brura recommends, actually, that one will take a look at the Chaya Adam. It's interesting to see. He says, a very beautiful Askama. Like, look at the Chaya Adam, whose language is like fire, you know, something like, he has some beautiful language to recommend that one take a look at the Chaya Adam. And just to give you a sense of what the Chaya Adam recommends, he says, again, the Ashamnus were assuming that you don't need to specify the sin, and that's how we pass. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Aruch HaShulchan all said it's recommended, but not required. So therefore, when the Anshei Knesset HaGedola made the Ashamnus, etc., in the Siddur, and the Machzor, they gave general derogatory words, you know, Baganu, Gezanu, etc., and they did it, I'll pee the Seder of the Aleph Beis, because when we sin, it is a desecration to the 22 letters of the Torah. So therefore, we kind of do tshuva through the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters. And therefore, but guess what? Every letter is like a bus stop. You're supposed to use that letter as a as an opportunity to include all the sins you did with that letter. So he gives the mashal. So you start with Ashamnu, Aleph. So you think of all the sins that you did with the letter Aleph. Like Achalti Davar Aser. This Ashamnu, Achalti Davar Aser. Or, you know, Bagarnu, I don't know, Rahman al Tzani, you know, whatever, I thought of something with a base, you know, that was, I say, less than appropriate, you know, like Baalti, you know, like when you, someone did an inappropriate thing in the realm of impurity, right? So you would say something like that, and he goes, the whole thing, out to tough. That's, remember in YU, people used to print this and put it on the shtender and the bima. So you'd get a little bit of a sense of Eimo Pachat from the Chaya Adam, because Imamish goes to the entire Aleph Beis and gives a list of all the various sins that are Alpi the Aleph Beis. There's a lot for you to think about after looking at the Chaya Adam. It's pretty intense. It's room. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. So Rav Melamed in his Sefer says exactly like you. So Jerome just said different people will respond emotionally differently to different actions. So again, on a halachic level, there's a lot of lumpness in the Rambam as to how to do, what does the Rambam mean, what's the mitzvah, vidui, tshuva. So we generally assume that vidui is the maisa of the mitzvah of tshuva, right? Tshuva is a mitzvah, and vidui is the action you need to do. So Jerome's saying, right, so if the goal is tshuva, so different viduyim will lead different people to do different levels of tshuva. Some people might do more tshuva the more they specify. Some people might do less tshuva the more they specify. Like, tshuva can be very debilitating. It could be very depressing if you get down on your past. There are people who, you know, and sometimes when I talk to high school boys about certain topics that are, let's say, high school boy sensitive, right? Some boys view it as the most inspirational Musar Shmuz in their lives, and you know, they literally, you know, can't get enough of the encouragement to talk about, you know, mature topics. And some boys feel completely guilt-ridden. That's exactly right. And they don't want to talk about it, you know, and it's totally common. And he says, I guess the Rav Melamed argues that different people should probably do vidui differently based on how you respond, because it's an emotional roller coaster tshuva. It's a fascinating idea. And so that is a very, very bright idea.
Rabbi quoted earlier.
Very good.
The whole idea of tshuva is like if I'm a computer or if I'm an automaton, I can't do tshuva because there's nothing for me to do.
Right. Right. So you have to always encourage yourself that you can fix it. It's a big vort in Breslov. Rabbi Nachman has a very famous idea that if you believe that you can sin, you have to believe that you could also fix, right? It's a very deep Torah of Rav Nachman. It's very, you know, one of the main Torahs of Rav Nachman Breslov is that if you believe that you can sin, you have to believe that you can fix, you know? And there's certainly overlap between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Nachman Breslov, believe it or not. So, again, the Chai Adam took us into a different stratosphere there of where you should specify, and it gives you the things to specify. And Jerome's pointing out, well, maybe this is not for everybody. You know, you have to kind of know how you're going to react to this stuff. And it's certainly not required. That's what we pointed out. So Rav Neventzal, in his Shailas Teshuvas in Yerushalayim Modeh, was asked, what about specifying sins? Do you need to, where do you put them in the vidui? So he says you can just put them all at the end. You don't need to do the aleph based thing. I.e., he's saying against the chai adam. You don't need to be so organized like the chai adam that once you're on ashamnu, include achalti, or, you know, you don't need to include it by aleph based. Rather, at the end, if you feel like you're about to finish vidui and there are some things that you haven't mentioned yet, so then kind of just add it at the end, you know, some, you know, a little encore, you know, a little bit of a personal touch to conclude vidui. So that's a nice psak from Rav Nemtza. Is there any questions about the mechanics? Because, you know, again, we're going into this Motzei Shabbos, yeah.
Mechanics, today people speaking, or mostly not Hebrew. So, Mishtam, you could be Mavadda in English.
Yeah, yeah. It should be noted that the Rambam, when he speaks about the mitzvah of Vidui Maser,
that has to be the Dafka.
I think that could be in any language.
No, no, the Anisa of Amarta has to be the Dafka in Hebrew. Just like Yibum, just like...
I hear what you're saying.
Whoever says the Yamarta or the Yamra has to be Lashon HaKodesh.
Yeah, that is a rule of thumb. I'm pretty sure that in this particular halacha it can be in other languages. If I'm not, I might be wrong. I've been wrong many, many times.
I might be
wrong. Right. So certainly English works in this case. Let's just conclude in the last minute or two that in addition to the mitzvah of Yidoy Maser in this parsha, we also have the mitzvah of Mikur Bikurim. Right? You don't only bring your Bikurim to the Kohen, you actually have to recite, you know, Rami Oved, you know, etc. I planted, Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim. I planted, and here are my first fruits. And the Sefer Achinuch explains the idea is that when someone uses his words, he's going to excite his heart. The words bring emotion to the action. And the idea is that you want to be excited about what Hashem did for you. And if you don't actually verbalize the chasadim that Hashem did by giving you those fruits, you're not going to be as grateful. And certainly, when we get into the habit of expression, we will have an easier time digging out things that are hiding within. And I remember in Shalvim learning from Rabbi Hendler that Rosh Hashanah is a day to get things out. What else happened on Rosh Hashanah? Yosef was freed from prison. The Jews were no longer subjugated to slavery. The barren Imos were remembered to have children. He said these are all things that were kind of constricted and were let out. And Rosh Hashanah is a day where whatever is hidden starts to come out. And this Motzei Shabbos, we begin the process. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, maybe Api Machshava, the whole schedule of events, the whole Luach has been getting us more and more progressively expressive, more and more progressive. That, you know, on Tisha B'Av we can't even speak, we can't even say hello. On Rosh Hashanah we use the shofar, we can't even say words. On Yom Kippur we start to actually say words. We get more and more expressive, and on Sukkot we dance. The idea is that whatever is hiding within, the Yomim Noraim season should try to shake us up a little bit, and all the kedusha we have within, we should be zochet to express and use it to grow. All right, my friends, let's daven Marv.